Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max coming to you live from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. We asked at the beginning of this week, Key, J, we asked the question, what would it take to bump the Super Bowl off the headlines, right? And we were like, we're speculating, like a KD trade. Last night we get a KD trade.
Was it speculating?
Trade. We get a KD trade last night. We, by the way, NBA's been dominating the headlines all week with off-season moves. And now, KD, the trade deadline's not till 3 p.m. And we're starting, we're trying to put two and two together. AD didn't look happy on the bench when LeBron set the scoring record. Well, hold on a second. Is there, if an AD trade were to come, that would bump the KD trade off the headline. This is wild in the NBA right now. Wild. Phoenix Suns are acquiring Kevin Durant and TJ Warren, Key. It's called the TJ Warren trade.
This guy, man. Well, come on. Give a guy some love. Yeah, you just gloss right over the guy.
I agree, Key. It's like, what, does he not exist?
He went to work in the bubble, Max.
He did. He was dropping 25 plus a night. All right, look. Brooklyn Nets trading KD and TJ Warren to Phoenix for Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, Jay Crowder, 4 first-round picks, 4 of them, and a 2028 pick swap to Brooklyn. So basically, the Nets just acquired all the missing pieces they needed to put around KD and Kyrie to win a championship, but now they had to give up KD and Kyrie to do it. Was the KD-Kyrie run? I can't ask this question. Are we seriously asking this question?
Yes, we are.
Was it a failure? Key, tell me, sit with a straight face, tell me you're going to say KD and Kyrie and James Harden, the greatest collection of talent in the history maybe of sports on the same team, was not a failure. They didn't do anything. They didn't get to a finals, they didn't get to a conference championship.
They're in the same spot that they were in. What they did is they just wasted. They're the same. Brooklyn's in the same spot that they were in before they acquired these dudes. I don't call it a failure because they was only together 16 games. What I call it was a bad experiment that went wrong. That's what I call it.
A bad one, not a good one, though, right?
No, I just don't call it a failure. The word failure is to me is extremely harsh because they did not even play together. It didn't work. They signed up some stuff, Jay, that just didn't work, and you bought tickets that you thought would make you have you retire, but now you got to try to figure out how to give them away.
I mean, I got a great return on my investment, Key. I'm not going to lie to you. The last 2 years have not been bad. But what I will say, though, is, Max, I don't call it a failure because every team would die to have James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and KD on the same squad.
Yeah, I'd do it again if I were them.
I would run it back again.
I don't care. I already know what happened, and I would not be able to say no.
The mismanagement of bringing those personalities together, that to me was an utter disaster.
And resulting in a?
Disaster.
Can you guys fix your mouths to say failure?
All right, fine.
This was a failure. It was a failure.
It was a failure. I mean,
you know who was a failure? All ballers on the same team. If you want to call it a failure, much like Jay said, it was a failure on the organization and mismanagement of sorts of different personalities.
Yes.
Okay, so if you want to fail the organization, fail the organization, but we're not going to fail the three guys.
Oh no, everyone gets an F. Everyone gets an F across the board.
I can't fail them.
Yes, the organization. Yes, when we say was it a failure, we are talking about the organization, 100%. Well, but if you're saying that exempts the players, no. Come on, they failed to get it done.
I exempt the players.
Well, by the way, I don't exempt the players all the way. But by the way, I mean,
but they was hurt.
The one year they all played. I mean, what? James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and KD played 14 games together.
That's unbelievable.
That's it. 14 games together.
I said 14.
But boy, those 14 games.
14. Oh. But by the way, I mean, even when they played Milwaukee, Kyrie was hurt. He didn't play. James Harden was on one leg. And KD had a shot to win the series.
Yeah.
Right? His shoe was a little too big.
A little too big. But they were right there. Here's what I will call the first failure. So a lot of people at the beginning were like, well, you know, KD and Kyrie, they're the ones that brought in Steve Nash. KD and Kyrie did not bring in Steve Nash. So I go back to this, Key. We always talk about What role do we want players to have?
Well, you're right about that, though, Jay. They did bring him in because Kyrie said what he said about we can do this coaching on our own. So,
what ultimatum did KD give about I want Sean Marks and Steve Nash gone? So that should have let the world know that Sean Marks and Steve Nash were a package, right? Now, I'm not absolving culpability from all these guys, right? They deserve a lot of it too. But at the same time, you have to bring in somebody that is strong key with a lot of history and experience to know how to manage three strong egos.
Because they would have brought in Ty Lue, for instance.
If they bring in Ty Lue, I think everything is different.
One of the reasons James Harden bounces because James was like, nah, Steve Nash ain't holding people accountable. Like he's allowing certain guys to do certain things where James was the first one to realize it and be like, oh, James, he quit on his teammates. Nah, James is smart. James is like, I'm out. This ain't it. This ain't going to have no long-term return.
James playing
return.
Very well. He's playing very well.
He's going to make you look at James Harden very differently right now, and he took less money to stick with Philly. How are you looking at James Harden now, world?
Yeah, I love when athletes identify something and it goes right for them. You know, it's like, this is the wrong message. I got to get out of here. I love that when that happens. And because everybody, like Jay says, it becomes he's Michelin man. He's fat. Look at him. Oh, God, he looks like the blimp. He's out of shape. Get him, move him out of here. It doesn't work like that.
Key,
I love it.
Key, you don't want to blame the athletes. Remember when the Dodgers got Darryl Strawberry and Eric Davis on the same team, and then they were hurt and things happened? That was a failure. It was like, it doesn't make them bad
people.
It was a failure.
Strawberry and ED. They were 1,000 years old.
No, they were still real good.
Can we bring in one of our fellow athletes?
Monica McNutt.
Thank you.
ESPN basketball analyst with us now.
Breakdown.
Yeah, she was supposed to be on the show yesterday. She was sitting right here, and the mic that died.
Auntie!
Good morning, y'all.
Good morning. Monica,
What do you think?
Okay, first of all, I just want to know, I tried to go to bed at a decent hour last night. I'm on the way to the airport. I woke up like, what in the world? What is happening? I think that Phoenix is, like, crazy. Super nerdy basketball person here. Not that they're going to contend, but I'm kind of curious to see what happens in Brooklyn. Like, that's a lot of young talent and, like, with a little happy smile. But I think Phoenix is now, they are really in a window of do or die for real.
A lot of young talent or a lot of, like, Monica, they just brought in Brooklyn the exact players they needed to win a championship with KD and Kyrie. But they had to give up KD and Kyrie to get a bunch of high-level role players, very high-level role players, but they're role players.
I agree, Max. Now, here's the thing. Do I think Brooklyn is going to contend? No. And will that roster stay pat? I'm not 100% sure what they have left in terms of the ability to move around. But you've got a lot of guys that will get meaningful minutes. We'll see if Cam Thomas is really going to turn into a scorer in this league. And then you'll be able to move from there. Like, they have a bunch of pieces that the entire league still will covet. And I'm just kind of curious to see how those guys kind of develop on their own. Now, rightfully so, the superstars drive this league. But to me, that is something unique. And just to keep an eye on, just as a, like, basketball nerd, are they going to contend? No, and I said that already. So we'll see what happens.
But Monica, so can I just go through the names? I mean, how many wings can you have on one roster? Like, that should be name of the game with the Brooklyn Nets. Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, Jay Crowder. You got Joe Harris. You got Ben Simmons. You got Dorian Finney-Smith. You got Spencer Dinwiddie. You got Patty Mills. You got Seth Curry. Mm-hmm. How many wings can you have on one roster?
Yeah, they got to make some deals now, right?
They're definitely going to have to move some people around. But we're also in the super era of, like, positionless basketball, y'all. Like, but here's the thing, Jay. Everybody you just named on that roster, a team that is trying to contend would want.
Yes, you're right about that.
So to me, you give them a chance. And from all indications, and Jay, you obviously would know better than I am, but all indications is Jacque Vaughn is a guy that you want players that are still trying to develop and kind of identify their true roles in the league, I guess, to kind of be around. And so I'm just curious as to see what's going to happen. I think Brooklyn has now, like, probably closed their window in the present, and we're looking at a few years out. But they've got guys that, to me, will still command, like, decent prices.
That's a good point. You could flip these to a number of teams even right now that could use players just like that.
Go ahead, Key.
No, I was going to say, now that the Brooklyn Nets did what they did and they moved KD to Phoenix, expand on what you think about what Phoenix have in their arsenal now with KD and CP3 and Ayton and Devin Booker.
Ayton and Booker, yeah. I mean,
but what about that bench now?
So, okay, so here's the thing. Immediately I go to, can Book and KD stay healthy, right? Because those are your two headliners at this point. CP3, whatever, load management, body rest, whatever he's going to have to do to be able to sustain the kind of flow that comes in the postseason, because we've seen him wear down the past couple of years, right? Look, KD just wants to hoop, and Devin Booker seems to approach it with that same thing. I don't know, when I think of those guys outside of CP3, how much they've put into their bodies, because you're right, Keith, the bench is short. Like, the bench is now significantly shorter for them. And so this is going to be the next level test in terms of their stamina. But as I look around at our contenders outside of, I mean, probably the Nuggets, and I think Milwaukee as they get healthy, like, you could argue that no team has, like, a second unit that you're crazy about in terms of whoever you think those top four, maybe five teams are.
And, Monica, you can always stagger those minutes where you got some of your guys mm-hmm. that can play on those second mm-hmm. units. I do want to ask you about the Lakers. We heard reports from Woj that Russell Westbrook and Darvin Ham got into their spat the other night when LeBron James broke the all-time scoring record. Russell Westbrook is no longer there. You've been hearing things around Anthony Davis potentially maybe being somewhat on the trade block. If you were the Lakers, would you hold on to Anthony Davis? Or if you got a grip for AD, would you consider that move?
What's a grip? Is a grip a guy that's going to help me win now, or is that pick?
Let's say if a grip were Zach LaVine, a Vucevic, some picks, and maybe a wing.
Vuce has never kind of been quite right in Chicago. That's really weird to me. LaVine, I think I would be curious about Kuz coming back before LaVine. But honestly, Jay, I think I hold pat. Like, we've seen that AD and LeBron can be incredibly dominant. You just uploaded three different guys, wing guys. Like, I would hold on to AD right now. And I honestly don't know what the market is for AD, because he can't stay on the floor. Like, even with and knock on wood, because I hope that's not true. Even, you know, KD, AD was tossed around. I'm like, yo, like, I get it if you're the Lakers, but a trade for AD is just such a gamble. Like, it's just such a gamble.
He was on the floor. He just sat on the bench. That's all.
Keith, what did you think of that? Because I thought that was completely overblown. Everybody did
I told you. You already.
Our boy Jalen.
Hey, baby.
What?
You already know how I feel about germ spread, and when people start looking at videos, and I look, anything could have been going on in his mind. Anything.
And I also, he stood up. Like, everybody relax. Whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Right,
he even clapped with his knees.
Monica McNutt, ESPN basketball analyst. Thanks for jumping on, Monica. And making up for yesterday's debacle with the microphone.
Aww,
unbelievable.
No problem. Monica,
yeah, that's right.
Sitting in studio with a dead mic the whole time, waiting to get on the microphone. Unbelievable.
All right, Monica. Safe travels.
Yeah, safe travels.
Safe travels. Where's she going? This is Keyshawn J. Willimax. The Keyshawn J. Willimax program. This is Keyshawn J. Willimax coming to you live.
It never is with this dude.
Sure entertainment.
Is the Eastern Conference? I thought the East was the Beastern Conference, but not anymore. Is it still? What's the better conference in the NBA right now? Is it now just a three-team race in the East?
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
The Phoenix Suns are acquiring Kevin Durant,
Chris Paul, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, DeAndre Ayton. I'm going to go ahead and say, I mean, I think this team kind of challenges those 2017, 2018, 2019 Golden State Warrior teams.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Click on the ESPN app, lower right-hand corner of the app. It says more. You scroll down to live radio, and you can hear us right there. We asked at the beginning of the week what could knock the Super Bowl off the front pages, right, off the leads of shows. Well, maybe if KD got traded. Bang, last night, KD gets traded. And maybe is AD going to get traded?
By the way, I got David Kaplan, who's from, you know, Chicago radio, texting me like, no, we don't want that. Why would we do that?
See, I told you, Jay.
I know. We got to get Cap to call into the show.
Right,
I told
now,
you.
I would like to introduce a man who did two segments on Max Unboxing last week.
Ooh.
Versatile. Now on to talk hoops. Chris Mannix, Sports Illustrated senior writer,
Chris.
NBC Sports Boston, NBA analyst. And he's got the best beat in sports. He covers boxing and basketball. Chris, good morning.
What's up,
Chris?
What's
happening, guys?
What's happening?
Well, you tell us, man. I mean, tell me about the talk to me. What's up with KD? Got traded before the deadline. You know, what do you think about all this?
But look, I was watching the Matt Ishbia press conference yesterday, his introductory press conference, and, you know, texting with a few people in the Suns organization right after that, one thing they said was, this guy wants to do something, some version of that, from a couple of people. Now, no one really expected that a Durant deal would be able to be put back together, but you knew with Matt Ishbia taking the reins and him wanting to make an immediate splash that they would be aggressive. And look, he was quick to tell his front office that, you know, if this is doable, let's do whatever it takes. And that meant sweetening the pot with the first round picks. That meant including Mikal Bridges, a player the Nets have coveted in part because of his talent, in part because he's a young player on a manageable long-term contract. So I give a lot of credit to Matt Ishbia for coming in and being proactive in making this deal happen.
Chris, how would you sum this up ultimately for the Brooklyn Nets? I mean, it's almost you have a roster full of wings. They can't be done making moves. But you almost feel like they're back to where they started talent-wise before they got Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, and maybe even worse off probably because at that point when they started doing those deals, they were – I mean, Jared Allen was there, Dinwiddie was there, Caris LeVert was there. They had some intriguing young talents. They were a team that pushed itself into the playoffs. I mean, look, the way I thought about this, you know, last night, you know, if you go back to 2012 at Sports Illustrated, we put Steve Nash and Dwight Howard on the cover and said, this is going to be fun when they were with the Lakers. Mm. It was not fun. It was catastrophically bad. This Harden, Kyrie, Kevin Durant mix might've been worse because the expectations were probably even higher that this team could, you know, put together a multiple championship run with three superstars in their prime. Now, as far as where the Nets go from here, I mean, they will start to look to sell off some of these parts. Remember, they don't have a lot of motivation to be really bad, you know, this season because, and really in future seasons because their picks are earmarked for somebody else, mostly Houston. But I would expect Brooklyn, specifically with Jay Crowder today, to aggressively try to get something back for him in return. And then maybe get to the offseason and, you know, these guys that are not part of the long-term plan there, I would expect them to be in conversation about being moved too.
Now that KD is in Phoenix, what does this do for the Suns out west? Where does this put them, though?
Look, they look like a, if not the front runner, a front runner at the moment. I mean, at the very least, I'd like to see how they all play together. You know, on paper, they look like they should be excellent. And Chris Paul seems like the kind of point guard that should make it work. But, you know, Devin Booker, you know, coming off injury, is he able to stay healthy? Paul, you know, he's still a good player, but obviously has shown some signs of regression over the course of this season. They lost some good role players. I mean, Bridges, Cam Johnson, these guys were playing for them. These are good players. So, you know, let's see what, you know, how they play together, if they're able to get guys in the buyout market, because I think that's going to be a place where they're going to be able to upgrade in the next couple of weeks. Look, it's the right move to make, no question about it. They are now all in for the next probably two or three seasons, if not beyond, with this group. But I do want to see how they play together before positioning them ahead of Denver, which has great chemistry. Memphis, which even though they're struggling right now, has been really good. I want to see how that mix comes together.
Chris Mannix, Sports Illustrated senior. Chris Mannix, Sports Illustrated senior writer, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Chris, the Toronto Raptors. All you heard was that they were going to be big sellers by the trade deadline, and with 7 hours and some change left. Do you see them making any moves? Because guys like Fred VanVleet, you keep thinking about the Clippers. OG Anunoby, you keep hearing his name being floated around. Do you see the Raptors making any moves because of the pieces and assets they have?
I do. Look, the Jakob Poeltl deal, you know, they were the one place that made sense for him because, you know, when people were talking about acquiring Poeltl, take Boston, for example, they were looking at it more as a rental and, you know, weren't going to give up first-round capital to get him. You know, Toronto doesn't see him as a rental. They liked him a lot before they traded him a few years ago, and I would expect Poeltl to re-sign there and be kind of their center for the future moving forward. VanVleet, and specifically Gary Trent Jr., is someone I'm watching, too, in the next few hours, because I don't know if Toronto is all that interested in investing, you know, $160-170 million in Fred VanVleet. I mean, Gary Trent Jr. is an excellent player, a terrific shooter, a two-way player, but he'd probably be like their fifth best player on that team. And do you want to give $20 million-ish to a guy like that? So those are the two guys that I think have the highest likelihood on Toronto to move later today. The team I'm watching, though, with Toronto is Memphis and OG Anunoby. Like, that's the situation I'm kind of keeping the closest eye on, because if you're Memphis right now, you're in kind of a free fall at the moment. You just saw the Lakers arm up. You just saw the Suns arm up. Denver, I think, is going to make a deal involving Bones Highland later today to improve their bench, which is really their only weakness right now. The starting lineup is light years better statistically than everybody else. So they're going to arm up. What are you doing if you're Memphis? Like, you've got all the pieces to be a championship contender this season. You've got a whole bunch of draft picks, a whole bunch of young players that maybe you don't really need over the next 3 or 4 years. They should be the team that is offering Toronto 3 first-round picks and maybe one of their young pieces to go get OG Anunoby, because that's a team that over the second half of the season could find itself left behind by some of these other contenders. Mm.
Chris Mannix. Hey, real quick, Chris, before I let you go, yes or no? It's all time we have. Jaylen Brown getting traded?
No. And right. I'm done with the Jaylen Brown. I feel bad for him at this point. Like, he just gets thrown in. He plays like an all-NBA player this season for the most part, and he gets tossed into every trade rumor out there. Jaylen Brown, I believe, will be a Celtic this season. If he makes the All-NBA team, you know, not to get too deep in the weeds, but it gives them a chance to re-sign him to a deal he might like in the offseason.
Thank you, Chris Mannix, Sports Illustrated senior writer, NBC Sports Boston NBA analyst, and you can see him on such programs as Max on Boxing on ESPN 2, 5 p.m.
that
Eastern,
is correct.
Friday early evening. Tune into NBA action tonight as the Lakers host the Bucks. Coverage begins at 9:30 p.m. Eastern on select ESPN radio stations. Hot Ticket is brought to you by Vivid Seats, where you earn rewards with every purchase. Vivid Seats Rewards is your ticket to more tickets. Vivid Seats, life happens live. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Entire landscape of the NBA changed this week. That's coming up.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
The Phoenix Suns are acquiring Kevin Durant, Jordan, in Tennessee. You're on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
You know what the old adage is? When the going gets tough, Durant gets going, y'all.
Man, why should KD spend the last of his prime years in a bad situation? Bounce.
Oh, by the way, you go to Phoenix. Phoenix is known for rejuvenating, like, bodies, right? Like, yeah. Grant Hill went there. You talk about Steve Nash played there for a long time. You got a lot of players out there that go there because of their training facilities and how they look at the human anatomy and how long they can extend the longevity of your career.
Field,
yeah, there's
Yates.
The whole Arizona area, both football and basketball and baseball.
Field Yates, ESPN NFL insider, co-host of Fantasy Football Podcast, with us now. Field, like we asked at the beginning of the week, and you do football, but we asked what would it take for the NBA to monopolize headlines heading into the Super Bowl? And we were like, well, if a Kevin Durant trade happened. It happened!
It finally happened. And you know what's funny is, if this had happened two trade deadlines ago, this would not be the case. The reason being that when the NFL only had a 17-week regular season, the NBA trade deadline used to be the Thursday after the Super Bowl. So we'd all have our football high the previous Sunday, and then we'd have 4 days of NBA buildup. Now that the NFL is an 18-week regular season and the Super Bowl has been pushed back a week, we have this ridiculous 4-day stretch that starts today that includes the trade deadline and then goes all the way up to the Super Bowl. So both the NBA and the NFL getting plenty of attention this week.
So, Field, the Suns now, we're arguing, are on paper the best team in the West. They haven't played together yet, but on paper, we're saying they're the best team in the West. Do you agree?
Yeah, I do on paper agree with that assertion. And I think that what we have to do, though, is look towards the path, right? Because if the NBA season began today and they had 82 games to jockey for a seed, I think we probably believe there's a pretty reasonable chance, assuming they stay healthy or at least close to it, they would win the most or near the most games in the Western Conference over an 82-game stretch. But, of course, we have just one-third of the season left. So where things get really interesting is what happens once we get past the play-in and we know who has to go through who else. But the Suns now obviously have two of the best scorers, certainly in the conference, in Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. But defensively, we'll see how things evolve now that they've traded away their best wing stopper in Mikal Bridges. But what's going to be fascinating is, what is the path look like when we get to the playoffs? Is the first round for the Phoenix Suns a matchup against Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving and the Mavericks? Obviously two very different teams now compared to where they were last year, but as we know, I mean, that was an epic choke job by the Phoenix Suns last playoffs. And if they do win that first round series, they could be staring down a second round series against the Denver Nuggets, who right now are running away with the Western Conference. So the reality is that they're probably going to be three or four teams that enter the playoffs in the West feeling like they can beat anybody anywhere. And next thing you know, one of them is going to most likely be bounced in the first round.
Yeah, Phil, when you look at the West, out West, obviously Phoenix made the moves. The Lakers have now made moves, moving on from Russell Westbrook, shipping him off to Utah with a 2027 pick protected pick as well. And then they acquired D'Angelo Russell, Malik Beasley, and Jared Vanderbilt. Where does this put the Lakers sitting at 13 right now? Can they make another move before the trade deadline to kind of put them in a different position?
Certainly seems like anything that's done between now and the trade deadline for the Lakers would just be window dressing. Just if you look at the assets they have available left over the trade and you forecast ahead to where they're going to be this upcoming year in free agency and all the various tentacles that go beyond the here and now. But doesn't it feel like this team has some new life at least, right? I mean, we've seen the Lakers play some heart-stopping games against some of the very best teams in the NBA. And the beauty of this league, of course, is the fact that, you know, on a given night, anybody can beat anybody else. The question for the Lakers, though, is even if they make a surge in the final third of their season, which I do think they have the capability of doing now, certainly more so than where they were 24 or even, you know, even a week ago, 24 hours or a week ago, it's that what's the net result? Like, how high can they climb? Because let's say they have a great run and they still finish seventh in the West. Well, all right, so the good news is that you've survived the play-in, but now you got to win three straight series on the road going forward to make the NBA Finals, which, as we know, is the Lakers, and this is a good thing. It's not just a bad standard to have. The standard is not to, like, win a playoff round and you know, give some team all they can handle in the second round. It's to win the championship. That's the reality of the Lakers. So they're certainly better equipped now compared to where they were a week ago. And they at least have some life. And obviously with LeBron at this stage of his career, and really every stage of his career, you owe it to him to maximize your chance, because when you have LeBron, you always have a chance to do damage on a given night.
Phil, what's the matchup you're most excited about as it relates to the Super Bowl coming up this Sunday?
Yeah, we have to talk football now. Come on, man.
I mean, there's big events happening. We got the Super Bowl. We got trades.
I know. Hey, you're right. No, we have to talk football. It's my real job, after all. You know, and this is like we're talking about these NBA trade deadlines that are like headline snatching moves that are very juicy and sexy and all the things that we look forward to during the NBA trade deadline. And the NFL is, like, in my opinion, on Sunday, potentially a meat and potatoes game. There are two incredible, incredible offensive lines involved in this game. The Chiefs, probably the best pass-protecting offensive line in the NFL. The Eagles, probably the best run-blocking line in the NFL. But I think it's which one of those offensive lines can handle the opposing pass rush better. Because the Eagles led the NFL in sacks this season. As a matter of fact, they have a chance to set the NBA single-season sack record, including the postseason. And the Chiefs have the second most sacks in the NFL this year. So two unreal pass rushes. And what we haven't seen so far since Patrick Mahomes got hurt was what it looks like when he's under duress, right? The Jacksonville Jaguars had, for some reason or another, no ability to generate any heat on Patrick Mahomes when he was limping through that game right when he suffered that high ankle sprain. And then in the AFC Championship game, the Bengals really couldn't do that either. We've seen Patrick Mahomes grimace on a few occasions since he had that ankle injury. There was a time against the Bengals when he kind of was moving towards his left, and you saw him pull up. Like, he's in pain still. There's no two ways about that. He has a high ankle sprain, after all. If Philly can control the line of scrimmage and get pressure on Patrick Mahomes, what does this offense look like? Conversely, if Chris Jones and Mike Dana and Frank Clark and the Chiefs' complementary rushers can disrupt Jalen Hurts' rhythm and timing, is he going to be able to generate big plays down the field, which, since he got back from the shoulder sprain back in Week 18, the Eagles, who obviously they keep winning, but they have not been as potent making these big plays down the field. So that's kind of what I'm watching, is the pass rush for both teams against the opposing offensive line.
Field Yates, ladies and gentlemen, who got to talk NBA basketball for most of his NFL football appearance. That's how big this Kevin Durant trade is. Thank you, Field. Appreciate
it. I love
it.
Well, anytime you guys want to have someone on to come talk hockey or baseball, I'm your guy.
I'm ready.
Yes,
ready.
We are the show of record for hockey and baseball, of course. Keyshawn J. Willimax is presented by Progressive Insurance. Was it all worth it for the Brooklyn Nets?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
The Phoenix Suns are acquiring Kevin Durant,
Chris Paul, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, DeAndre Ayton. I'm going to go ahead and say, I mean, I think this team kind of challenges those 2017, 2018, 2019 Golden State Warrior teams.
But, of course, they'll be playing the 2023 Golden State Warriors team. Not to mention Memphis Grizzlies, Denver Nuggets, Los Angeles Lakers, Los Angeles Clippers.
Memphis Grizzlies.
Mention them. The Suns.
Sacramento Kings.
The Suns acquire Kevin Durant in a trade with the Nets. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max were presented by Progressive Insurance. Phoenix sending Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, Jay Crowder, 4 first-round picks. And a 2028 pick swap to Brooklyn for, he would like you to know, T.J. Warren and Kevin Durant.
We got to get put some respect on the man's name.
In Key's mind, this is the T.J. Warren trade.
Man, you skipped the name like the first 2 hours of the show. You didn't make mention of T.J. Warren.
And he wouldn't be the only person, I'm sure. We lead off all sports talk. People follow us all over the country, and they copy us a lot and use our stuff. I just want to make sure that Max got T.J. Warren in it because yeah. I don't want to, you know,
set that precedent. T.J. Warren, in fact, exists and plays basketball. That's right. Adrian Wojnarowski, ESPN senior NBA insider on the 7 a.m. Sports Center on the Brooklyn Nets. Listen.
What'll be interesting today now, the pieces that Brooklyn has in place between now and the 3 o'clock trade deadline, there is great interest all over the league in any number of these players. Many of them will be in play, including Jay Crowder, who I would expect may be on the move before 3 o'clock. He was in the deal last night, too, from Phoenix.
Yeah, you know how many teams, Jay, including the Brooklyn team, that had KD and Kyrie could use? Like, man, if we had one piece, if we just had Mikal Bridges or Cam Johnson or Jay Crowder, man, that's exactly who we need. They got three guys like that to move now.
So we've been hearing things about Toronto and OG Anunoby being a player that the Memphis Grizzlies should target. But we know that in return, Masai Ujiri, the GM for the Raptors, is asking for a grip for guys like OG or Fred VanVleet because of all their versatility and what they bring to the table. If I'm Memphis, if I feel like the price is too steep on OG, I go out and I get Jay Crowder. Jay Crowder is the personality that fits into what Memphis does. He is that veteran that can calm everybody down. He's a guy that has championship experience playing in championship games. He can space the floor. He is the same dog defensively that fits the DNA of who the Memphis Grizzlies are. If I'm Memphis, I'm trying to get that for a good cost.
And that would be the smart move because of the veteran leadership and championship experience. If you look at Phoenix, what did they do? They went out and got Kevin Durant. Has some leadership, quiet leadership, but also has championship experience, something that they necessarily didn't have on their team when they made the run to the championship. So I don't disagree with you at all, Jay, as far as what Memphis should do. Now, Brooklyn, on the other hand, because this trade is all about Kevin Durant, they've got to figure out what they want to do in the future. All those picks, all those young players, now you just start packaging them up and moving them around because you're rebuilding all over again where you were 4 years ago.
The only problem with Brooklyn right now is, you know, we had Bobby Marks on our show a couple of days ago, and he literally said that Ben Simmons is an untradeable asset.
Yeah, it's negative value.
An untradeable asset. So,
but what if a team needed that type of
player? Well, here's Bobby Marks from ESPN Front Jay? Office Insider. Here he is yesterday. This is exactly what he said. Or sorry, from Monday. This is exactly what he said.
I don't think Ben Simmons has any value. I mean, he can't stay on the court. And I think he has the one word that is the worst word in the NBA. Unreliable. You can't trust him, and he's unreliable here. And for him to get value back, he's got to be on the court. I think that's going to be an issue that Brooklyn's going to have to address. And he'll have 2 years left after this contract. But right now, there's no value for Ben Simmons.
Bobby Marks was reacting to the trade of Kyrie Irving at the time. Now Kevin Durant has been traded. Will Anthony Davis be traded next? The trade deadline's at 3 p.m. Bobby Marks is going to join us 7 minutes from now. Yes, Jay?
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, that's the biggest question key around Ben Simmons. Like, now this team, you have all these wings. You have Ben Simmons, who has been having knee soreness that you question around his reliability. It's almost like if you're at a Brooklyn Nets, you're stuck with that asset unless you package him. But if you're a team, why would you want to incur that cost if you're not sure what you're going to get?
But what if he's healthy? Forget his offensive shooting woes.
If I'm paying $100+ million, I don't like the what if games as relates around like what if he's
healthy.
Because I know what Kevin Durant is, so I can play that game around Kevin Durant.
You got there before I could get there. Good.
I know what that is.
I was going to say, you got KDs. You know, people do get paid coming off injuries. They do honor contracts with guys with injuries. But what if you need that type of player? Long wing defender, but you don't care about the offensive scoring. You just care about the defensive side of the ball and a little bit of the rebounding and facilitating when he can, and that's it. What if you care about that?
The basketball aspect, like the physical attributes, makes sense to me, Key. But as we've talked about, because we keep it a buck on this show, mentally there's somewhat of a block. I don't know what's going on there. And I'm not sure if I'm the GM or owner of another team, Max said, I feel like watching him in multiple stops now, like, yeah, I can fix that. I don't know what that is.
But if you don't have value, if you don't have value and I can get you for
a pack of potato chips and a soda. But that's
like, I just traded away the house for that. I can't give away that for free, though, Key.
Jay already
said it's
over $100 million. The difference between a guy like KD and Ben Simmons, how did KD get hurt in the first place? Because clearly there was something going on with his Achilles, and he was willing to risk his career on the altar of chasing greatness, of winning a championship, going into a contract year, right? That ain't Ben Simmons. That has not been Ben Simmons throughout his career, so that risk of $100+ million, very different. Bobby Marks is going to join us to get us set for the NBA trade deadline. Buckle up, everybody. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.